Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It is great to be home. There is a lot of highlights from the last couple of months that I could share. But what we do want to focus on this morning just for a little bit is the recent trip. There was a team of six of us that went to Malawi, to particularly Lilongwe, and to visit and be a part of our project that we have running there, is also partnering with some Canadians, with some locals in terms of running an outreach event series over 3 days, which we might get to as well. But just to give you a little bit of an insight onto some of the team's experiences on the trip while we're there, I've asked the guys to come and just share a little bit of what they experienced. And so the team consisted of myself with April. We had Gary. We had Pope John Paul. We had Dave and his son Max. And so it was great as a team to go. So April was the solo female there, and she managed us men really well. But to begin, give a bit of an insight into different people's perspective, I want to invite Gary to come up, and he's going to share his thoughts. So put your hands together for Gaz. He might be a Melbourne supporter, but we won't hold that against him.
Wow, Malawi. What a place. It was rewarding. It was humbling. It was spiritual. It was emotional. It was exciting. Fantastic. So I'd just like to thank my family there in the second row. You normally hold it down there.
Yeah, mate.
But mostly I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to go to Malawi and see what Compass has done over the years and the hard work they've done. And I was just a small part of that, and I'm grateful for that. And so the people of Malawi are just... they've got nothing, but what they have got, they thank the Lord, and it's fantastic. I'd like to thank the guys I went away with, and they're all gone. Oh, yeah. Where's Dave? Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Max, April, and Phil, and Paul. If I go away again, I'd like to go with those people because they just gave me so much love. Apart from being there and seeing the Malawians, how they live, it was amazing, and I'll never take anything else for granted. It was amazing. So thanks, guys. I love yous. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Good work, mate. Gaz, if you had one highlight, I know it's hard, but if you had one highlight for you, what would it be?
3:30 Saturday morning, the second day we're there. I woke up and I just felt the presence of the Lord. And it just, what I really got was that it's not about you, it's not about us, it's about Jesus Christ. Everything comes through him. And I was emotionally crying at 3:30 Saturday morning. Yes, that was... There was many highlights, but that was only day two as well.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Gaz. Thank you. I'm going to invite Paul to come up and share a little bit of what he experienced.
As you know, I've been a couple of times to Malawi now. And this trip with the people was fantastic. It was really good having Gary there. Great having the young kids there. And they had a couple of extra things to put up with that we hadn't planned. There was a little bit of an accident. We had an extra passenger in the van at one stage, which we hadn't planned on. Someone came through the back window of the van, literally... head first or helmet first, and the kids really did an amazing job. April actually stopped the passenger arriving with her back, and the window was shattered, but the kids were totally amazing. They put up with everything that was thrown at them, just incredible. But I'd just like to say thank you to the whole church. To see what's happening in Malawi each time I go there, is amazing. The stuff that the Malawians have to put up with each year, this year's the second year in a row that they've had a major drought. And as Gary said, they literally have nothing. Yet they put up with us coming over there. Yes, they're blessed because they're taught a little bit more and they love us coming over, but they just give us everything. And it's just incredible. But you'll see some photos maybe next week as we get some more. Thank you, Church. All the doors and the windows are going in this week. That's thanks to the church, and also a donor that doesn't even come here has put money into that as well. So it's a real God thing. And also, one of the highlights is with the YC, which Phil said before, the Canadians. Phil preached there, and there's such a move of God. These people, they just love God so much. But maybe Phil supplied some photos, but I'll supply some other photos. And it's not just one or two people that give their heart to the Lord. There were hundreds of people that gave their hearts to the Lord, from kids to adults. It's just right across the board, and you'll just see the photos. And they're not just, you know, just giving their heart to the Lord just for the sake of it, but it's just amazing. And it's just a God-given thing, and we're just privileged to be part of it. You know, it's not about us, it's all about God. Just the souls that are gained from this, and it's, you are all part of it. And that's a highlight to me. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul. You've heard Dave and Max mentioned. 2 years ago, Dave, they brought their eldest son, Sam, when I went with Ruby 2 years ago. And this year, went with April, and Dave bought Max. And our kids have sort of grown up over the years. And we've known Dave and Annie and the family for 20-odd years. Well, as long as the boys have been alive anyway, because they're not 20 yet. But we've known them as a family, and they've sort of like been a part indirectly of Compass. And so it was great to have Dave again on the trip. And so I'm going to ask Dave to come, because he had some great things happen. Put your hands together. This is Dave.
Thanks, Phil. Phil's a great man. Nat's a great woman. Salsy. Sorry. I used to employ Michael, so I know exactly what he's like. All right. Listen, I want you to do something for me. 5 o'clock this morning, I take an opportunity like this and I don't take it lightly. And I was saying to God, God, is there anything you want me to do? And what I'd like you to do, if you've got 50 cents, I need you to do this really quickly because I only got 4 minutes, Phil's told me. 50 cents, I want you to get it out and put it on your knee. If you haven't got 50 cents, this man here has a heap of 50-cent pieces to come back, Salsy, and he's going to give you one. So if you haven't got one, put your hand up. Here, Nat's missing one. Phil hasn't got one. Anything. You put a dollar, anything. I wanted you to put it on your knee. It's important that you have it. All right? Thanks, Nat. Hey, listen. What a wonderful opportunity it's been for me now to be on two of these trips. Last time I was there with Jeremy and Paul and Sean and Phil and Ruby and my son, Ginger. And I tell you what, the wet season came to Malawi. I spent 90% of my time crying. Nikki and I were having a cry-off, all right? I think I won. But it was God doing some incredible things in me. There was one instance when we were over there and we were at a school and we were sitting around. And we were trying to put some play equipment in. And there was this one hole that we needed dug. And what do we hit? We hit rock. And I'm there and I'm knocking with this rotten bit of steel and a hammer trying to punch a hole in there. Within a couple of minutes, I've got about 10 or 15 kids sitting around me. And I'm just start praying. And I've got tears coming down my face because I'm thinking, God, this hole is going in the ground. This play equipment is going in the ground, no matter what. And you know what? Phil starts to sing Jesus Loves Me behind me. I got tears coming down my eyes. We end up praying with this group of kids. But the presence of God there was incredible. It's amazing what happens when you go on one of these trips. And I encourage you, start putting your coins away, your gold coins now. If you get the opportunity to go, go. It's incredible. One of the highlights of this trip was we were asked to pray for a pastor that was sick. And once again, I stood in that room with Phil and Paul, and the presence of God was incredible. I got out of that room. I walked out of that room. That man got out of his bed and walked out. Very sick man. He walked us out to our little bomby bus, you know, and said goodbye. And he thanked us for praying for him. But the presence of God, I got on the bus and I couldn't look at Phil because once again I was crying. But it's incredible. But with that 50 cents that's on your knee, I want you to look at that 50 cents. It's 50 cents. And when we were at the community centre this last trip, while Gary and Paul were off having coffee and having their nails done, I think, the pastor and the businessman are turning the dirt and creating a veggie garden and doing some landscaping there. And we said to Gift, who earns no money, who lives in a tiny little hut on the premises, it's probably 4.5 metres by 2.5, it's full of church gear because they can't put it, well, they will be able to now because the windows and everything. He lives in there with his wife, his two kids. Dirt floor, got nothing. They've finally got water there. And we're digging the dirt over and we said to him, Gift, we want to get some plants. We want to get some tomatoes or something to put in the veggie garden. And he's looking at us in his broken English and he says, I go to the market. So he goes into his little hut. He comes out in clean clothes. He then says to us, we said to him, how are you going to get to the market? He says, I run. So we gave him some money for some seeds. We gave him some money for a taxi, which isn't really a taxi. It's a bus with 500,000 people stacked into one little tiny bus. And he came back. And he came back with seeds. He came back with a packet of pumpkin seeds. He came back with Chinese cost lettuce and tomato seeds. And it cost us 45 cents. 45 cents. There's 50 cents on your knee there. Now, those three packets of seeds have revolutionised that guy's life for the next year. You open up the packet, there's not just one seed, but there's many seeds. It's fed his family for weeks, for months, probably a year, probably 18 months. 50 cents. You take the 50 cents and you apply God's blessing, God's rain, God's sunlight, and what do you got? An incredible blessing in someone's life. 50 cents. I can guarantee you, it is so powerful going on one of those trips. Going somewhere and doing that. The presence of God is incredible. The hand of God's protection over our lives with that accident was incredible. I had my passport taken off me, my license taken off me. The whole time I came back and I said to Phil, I'm in a foreign country, nowhere near the main town, but I got absolute peace. Hand of God. And that was because of you people praying the hedge of protection over us. And it's fantastic. And I encourage you, if you can go, it's changed my life. I'm a little Lego man that God used to use, and I got wrapped up in business, and I probably should have been a pastor. I should have been a lot of things in my life. But God, through those trips, has started to rebuild this little man. He started to, like, you know the little Lego men? He's got the boots. He's got the legs. He's got the torso. He's got the arms. He's got the head. He's got the cap, and he's put me all back together. And I'm becoming back to the man of God that I should have been and the man of God I am. Because of a different country where God's moving. So I want to encourage you. When I was this morning, when I woke up, got back on Monday night, Tuesday night, I had to go to a course I'm doing, and the lady there said, I want you to take 5 minutes and I want you to spend time in the presence of God and I want you to sense what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, I'm tired. And the Holy Spirit says to me, I'm pleased. And I'm like, that's good. That's nice. That's good. I've done the right thing. But this morning when I was praying, God encouraged me to say to you, Nat, I'm pleased. Paul, I'm pleased. Lester, I'm pleased. Michael, I'm pleased. Jeremy, I'm pleased. Bianca, I'm pleased. Nikki, I'm pleased. Josephine, I'm pleased. God is so pleased with what you are doing in your community, in and around the world. You might not be a mega church, but you are doing an incredible work. And I want to encourage you, that 50 cents, you can keep it, you can put it in your pocket, or you can give it to Paul and let him sow it into Malawi. Let him be the guardian of it and help transform someone's life with 50 cents. With 50 cents. It's not about the blessing you get back. It's about the blessing you are to someone else. Because we get that when you walk into the glory and God says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear. That's all it's about. So I encourage you, go on a trip. It's fantastic. So remember, God is pleased. Now I'm going to leave Phil with that and he's going to have to try and preach. That's going to mess with you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave and Annie. Max being here today. We appreciate, love you guys. And well, there are a little bit of an insight just to give you a couple of photos. I'm going to go through this pretty quick. If you don't know where Malawi is, it's sort of situated there. So this is our van that we're in. And as you can see, it's got the sliding door there and it's got three rows of seats in it. And so when we flew into Lilongwe, we were taken from the airport down to a place called Salima. And then the meetings that we had were in a pretty much a remote little place. Next slide. So this is kind of like the pergola they set up for the meetings outside. It's probably about 150, 200 people crammed underneath that. That's where we kind of preached on the Friday night. And then we had a meeting. And the next photo, it's just like April was just smothered. April and Max were just smothered by the kids and had a great time. And you know, I think that, not next, but okay, we'll go next. April, come here for a second. Because in that van, there was three rows. And on the very back seat, April was sitting on the left-hand side and Max was sitting on the right-hand side. And on the Friday night, we got a message from the prayer team who meets on Friday morning. And one of the words that we got from the team was that God has put a hedge of protection around us, so thick and dense and protective that the only way we could look was up, and that's to Jesus and to the Lord. And we went, oh, that's great. It's nice to know that we're covered in prayer and that God's protecting us. And then when we were driving back from the morning meeting, we were turning into our lodge and April was sitting on the back seat and was looking out the back window. And what did you see, sweetheart?
So I was looking at the back because I saw a big truck full of people and I thought it was so amazing how you could fit so many people on it. And then all of a sudden we stopped. So I looked back to see, is the truck going to get past us? And then what I didn't realize is there was a motorbike behind the truck that obviously hadn't seen that we were stopped. And so that came and just kept coming towards us. Apparently I screamed really loudly, but I can't remember any of that. But, yeah, he basically came through the window and there was a seat in front of me, actually, that moved forward very easily and kind of collapsed. If you go to the next slide, I think. That one over there. And I basically pushed on that chair because the guy came through. And if I didn't push on that chair, I don't know where I'd be right now. But then Dad went flying forward and... Yeah, and the guy was sitting in the back. So, yeah, and glass went everywhere, even to the very front of the van. There were big chunks of glass everywhere.
Stay there. Oh, okay. So this is the second day we're in Malawi, remote area. And so April was sitting on the left there and that seat collapsed. And so we were all joking around just what a quality vehicle we're travelling in. And, you know, but if that didn't collapse, April would have got poleaxed between a set seat the other side there. So the guy's unconscious, sort of semi on top of April and very much on top of Max. And so kind of after it had happened, we kind of looked around, made sure April was okay, got her out because all of a sudden blood's spurting out of the guy's head. And there's blood on that back seat that you can see. And trying to make sure he was okay as he started to regain consciousness, trying to say, don't move, you okay. But didn't listen. He jumped straight up and kind of climbed through and out the side door. April had managed to get out of the way. Fortunately, we got her to safety. And then finally, Max could get out and, you know, sort of were able to get the little glass shards out the back of their heads. But, you know, I think it's just amazing that, you know, the way that it all happened, God's incredible providence and covering. Number one, this guy wasn't killed, coming headfirst through a window like that. And for the guy to hit April in the back and not in the back of the head with his helmet going headfirst was just amazing. There's just lots of things about an accident that we just went, wow, God, you were just your protective angels. You were covering, you were guiding, and you were taking care of us. It was just phenomenal, God's protection. And so, you know, for April, the next couple of days, and we're a bit shaky and didn't necessarily want to be there, in all honesty. But then after that, April, once he kind of like recalibrated a bit, and like Paul said, you and Max did a phenomenal job working through what was quite a serious accident. What was the highlight after that?
I actually got the privilege to hang out with the Canadian group for a few days. I abandoned... and I got the privilege to actually go to a place called A Village of Hope, which is an orphanage kind of thing, I guess. And we got to see the kids there and, like, living in their normal environment and stuff, and we got to see, like, their sleep, where they sleep and stuff. And, like, you hear about these trips and stuff and, like, how much people say you should go. It's, like, it's changing and stuff. But, like, once you're actually there, you kind of like, it's so different. Like, you just actually realize how much of an impact it has on your life. Like, you hear it from people, but you don't actually understand how much it impacts you. Yeah, and I think that was really amazing, seeing the kids live their, like, everyday life and stuff. Yeah.
Sweet, huh? Thanks, April. Thanks. Thank you. So, yeah, we just really thank God. And so the first 4 days, April wanted to come home. And then the last 4 days, she didn't want to come home. So, so just quickly, though, just next photo here. What we have is just one of the meetings that took place. And it was just the dancing is amazing. It's like, you know, just the moves and the grooves of everybody there. I fit right in, actually. I was the whitest white guy in the room. But it was just amazing. Like, you know, sort of we all get a little bit like the music's too loud, dancing. But like these guys, it was just everything's 11 out of 10 volume, distorted like you wouldn't believe, but it is just incredible. It's just amazing worship. Next one. And so this was packing, driving home. I can't say the stuff on the roof was necessarily secure. I pretty much had to drive at 60 kilometres an hour on the way home for obvious reasons, hoping nothing would fall off, but that was how we managed to get back for 2 hours. Next slide. A couple of things that we managed to do, which was great. The gentleman that's in this photo is the Lord Mayor of Lilongwe, and so he is like the chief of Lilongwe. So nothing happens without his approval, pretty much, especially the acquisition purchase of land. And so we presented our vision of the future desire to have a school from prep right through to 12, and including within that a medical clinic, etc. And he was excited, and he said, look, you need to contact me personally. I want to help you acquire and get that land and make sure that you don't get ripped off, and I want to make sure that this all happens, and I'm very supportive of your project. So it was just a great, great meeting, and something he was just so pleased and happy to meet us, which was give God praise for that. Next slide. And so this is like within our community centre that we have built, stage one, and as Paul mentioned, the windows and the doors are all going in, which means the facility will now be secure, and so that's really exciting. So this is where the church meets and also where they actually run the school from. Next slide. Which is good. So you might think, oh, that's a nice bike. That's a bike, but to Malawian, that is a car. So when we did what we did, next slide, we were able to give this bike to Gift. So that's Gift and Zealous and their youngest son. And it was just, you know, that you could not wipe the smile off Gift's face. And I know Jeremy has mentioned Gift, and he is a man with a phenomenal heart. Zealous is just an amazing lady, and we are so blessed to have them on the property and a part of the project. And for us to be able to buy a bike for him was like literally giving him a car. And so the way he was riding around the car park, he's just like, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. And, you know, little Brave is running after him, his son's running after him, and just they just couldn't believe it, you know. So that was certainly a highlight for us. So over to the left or the right of Gift Shelters is where we put that veggie patch in. And as Dave said, it's just so small, but we were able to just make such a big impact with just such a small thing. Next slide is... Some very sexy legs there by Pope John Paul. But what we were able to do is just beautify their opening a massive stadium not too far away, and so in September. And so the Lord Mayor was asking how we're going with beautifying the property. And so what we're able to do is we're able to do some landscaping, gardening, and put a hedge down along there along the front. And so, you know, that was a, sort of like just a lot of good fun, hard work that we got a lot of Malawian dust and dirt under our fingernails, which is good fun. Next slide. So this is a very poor attempt at a selfie, but the young lady that you will see in the middle is the daughter of a couple, and the lady was the Minister of Education for Malawi, and her husband's a well-respected, recognised teacher and educator. This is their daughter who is involved in a project of keeping Malawian girls in school, particularly in rural areas, where culturally, not religious, but more culturally, at the age of 12 or 13, girls are married off. And so they are discouraged from continuing to stay in school. And this is still happening, and it's very prevalent, and they would probably have a 10 to 15% retention rate of girls in school in rural areas, partly for distance that they need to travel to get to a school, but also that cultural pressure of as soon as they're able to bear children, they're basically married off. And, you know, which is, you know, she is such an advocate of just keeping girls in school. So we're just looking at ways of how we can support her in the project she's working on. She's having great success, but it's obviously a lot of hard work for her to do that. So there are some very small, simple things that we can do, and I believe we're capable of doing to support that along with our existing projects. So that's exciting. So stay tuned for that one. Next slide. This guy here is Mike Love. He's the Canadian leader of a ministry called Extreme Dreams. So he's a guy we connect with and run YC, the crusade in Malawi. So the next couple of pictures that you will see are photos from the actual crusade. Had the privilege of preaching on the first night. I thought there was probably about 2,000 people there. I was informed there was about 3,500, so got that a little bit wrong. But, you know, it was just fantastic. It was just in a sort of like a block of land that can hold that many people, but it was just amazing to see, and a great experience to share with April and the team. It was unreal. And the next couple of photos are just some great photos a guy sent me. Some I am not flexing, you idiot, because that's at the front of my mind when I'm trying to tell people about Jesus. Seriously, Lord, forgive me for what I'm thinking about him right now. Anyway, the next photo is a little bit hard to see, but all the hands raised are the people that responded. And I was guesstimating about 400, but there was over 500 just in the area that they tried to get them to. And then there was like another several hundred around that responded to that. And it was actually in an area where there was a great local church. And every single person there was personally followed up and encouraged and supported. So it was like just an unbelievable privilege to be a part of being able to present, you know, the gospel and to see people respond in the way that they did. It was just brilliant. So next photo. I don't even know what's next. So this is church just before we left on the Sunday morning. Pastor Edson, and I really have to commend Pastor Edson and his board and those leaders. You know, they're just doing a great job. As you've heard, with not much, they're doing a great job. And what we've supported them in, we really appreciate the way that they have actually just embraced that and not taken it for granted so much, but they have actually just doing all that they can with what they've got. So just really, really grateful for the relationships we have there. Next slide. Just the last couple of things that I'll bring to your attention. Just some basic facts around Malawi. Next slide is, as you can see, that's our building. But the doors and windows, so where you see that the tin on the windows and doors, that is all being replaced with proper doors and windows now, which is so exciting. Things just need to be lockable. The electricity has been connected, which is also great. So there's only a couple of things. In terms of getting stage one finished off, really it's the indoor toilets and showers, getting a septic tank in, and a couple of extra support beams so the roof doesn't fall in. Just a minor important issue. But, you know, we had a meeting with the architect and he just gave his advice around what we need to do to get this building to standard and to be able to actually make sure it's all safe and stage one is complete. So can I just say thank you to you all, as has been said. You know, we're not a large church, but can I just assure you we're having a large impact. And it's but by the grace of God, and it's because of our generosity, and that's part of our deep story. It's who we are, that we desire to be generous in all that we do and to pursue doing things with excellence. And for me, that is doing the best you can with what you've got. And so whether that's the worship team, it's no matter what we do, we just desire to give the very best that we can. And I believe that to be the case with our project in Malawi. And so, you know, I cannot encourage or invite you. Research says, parents, listen to me carefully. Research says one of the key significant factors in our kids actually maintaining a walk with Christ throughout their particularly young adult years, which is where the majority of young people, 50% of people going to university, college, whatever, fall back in their relationship with the Lord. One of the things that sustains them through that is that they've had the opportunity to go on a form of missions trip. And so we are keen to keep offering these opportunities to old and young alike. And, you know, there may be other opportunities in that may be more affordable to, say, Indonesia and different things there. But can I ask you to just seriously pray and consider? For us, it was, you know, we knew in 2 years' time it was going to be April's turn. So we planned accordingly and did all of that sort of stuff financially and stuff so we could make that happen. And there is a cost, but let me guarantee you it's worth it. And just something for us all to prayerfully consider, that there will be a team going next year, team going every year. So if you can't go next year, just book it in and lock it in for the following year. So I'm excited about this coming to a close, stage one. The next couple of photos that you will see is what we have presented in the past. If you haven't seen our education support program flyer brochure, which gives all the information that you see on the screen and around our school projects that we run within Area 49 and the other project at CHIMS, all the information is in there. And if you want to know more about that, I'll just get Bianca and Jeremy to stand up, and Paul, just so you know who these people are that you can talk to. And is Gail, Gail's here, or is she in Grumman's? Oh, she's right near Paul. Gail, sorry. But you can ask any one of these guys about what we're currently doing in Malawi, and I know they would love to share more about it. In fact, you'll probably have to shut us up. But, you know, we're just that excited and privileged. And so, you know, this is not just something that Compass Church is doing. This is something that we're doing. What happens over there could not have happened without your prayers, your finance, your support. So this is not just Compass Church. You know, this is all of our project. So every child's life that we're making a difference in, every child that we're saving and feeding and educating, giving a hand up and trying to educate them out of poverty, we're doing that. You're doing that. We're doing it. And so I just really want to thank you and ask that you just continually to pray. Not everybody can go, but we can help support and assist those that can, or the project itself. And so if you have any photos around, any questions around around that Malawi, then you can talk to any one of the guys that were on the trip. I'm very conscious of time, and so I am going to record speed preach in give me 3 minutes. Can you give me 3 minutes? Too bad. I'm taking 3 minutes. One of the things that I believe God has laid on my heart, which is a word for our church in 3 minutes, if I may, is that sometimes we can look at our own lives personally. We can look at the bigness of what we're involved in, whether it's within our community, whether it's a project like Malawi, and we kind of want things to actually happen so much quicker than what they are. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't care. I care. And I get frustrated that things don't happen faster than what they are. That's just me. It's how I live my life. I don't want to live half-hearted. I don't want to not make leave a lasting legacy for my kids and for future generations to be a part of and to give God glory for. And so for me, it's like, hey, if we're going to do this, let's get on with it and make it happen. And I can get frustrated. But what God led me to, which is a great encouragement for us in our personal growth and development, but also as a church, as we continue, but by the grace of God, to grow, I found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says here in verse 17, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispose of them? You shall not be afraid of them. But you shall remember well that the Lord your God did what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God to all the people of whom you are afraid. And then listen to this in verse 22. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are totally gone. And I guess for me, the reality of my own personal spiritual life, I can't say that I've woken up one morning and suddenly been, transported to this bigger place and I'm suddenly this radically transformed man from the day before. I know God has the power to do that. We see Saul going to Paul. We see those radical transformations, but my experience predominantly has been that it's little by little. And I want to encourage you today that that we are on this process and Christ-like journey, that we're wanting to become more like Jesus, that it's the little by little. You know, we can get frustrated that maybe the big changes aren't happening, but how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And I think that we've got to kind of sometimes take some pressure off us, provided our heart's desire is that we're trying to be transformed into the image and likeness of God, and go, yes, I have got all these issues that I'm trying to work through, but as long as we're taking forward steps towards Jesus, I think that's the important part. And then that way we do position ourselves for those miraculous moments. But as a church, I know that God has actually challenged me and encouraged me that, you know, maybe the extent of growth that I would love to see doesn't necessarily happen because certain things have to be put in place before that growth can actually happen. And it's little by little. And I believe that's just kind of like the word for us in this season that we're in, is that God will continue to bless and grow Compass Church little by little. But each of us have a responsibility personally to have that same heart. I want to keep growing little by little. And we will pray for the miraculous and we'll pray for the big radical transformations. Absolutely. But I believe it's just a word just for this season that God is wanting to encourage us. Hey, just little by little, just keep trusting, keep believing, keep getting into his word, keep allowing the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance. Because it actually says in 2 Corinthians 3, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's my desire for you as a pastor, is that we are all on that process of being transformed from glory to glory, from glory to glory, just little by little. And so, you know, we've seen that happen in Malawi and we've seen it happen here at Compass. But I just think that that's just a little word for us this morning that you might just take a little bit of encouragement from. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that this is the day that you have made and we have a choice. We have a choice of whether we acknowledge you, whether we profess and proclaim you as Lord, that we are not dictated to by what the content of the day holds, by what life is trying to throw at us. But Father, we have the choice of declaring that, God, despite this, despite that, and I'm thankful for that, that you are still reigning and ruling, that you're the King of Kings, that you're the Lord of Lords, that we have the choice that this is the day the Lord has made, and so therefore I will rejoice in it, and we will give you praise and give you glory. Father, we want to honour you today for your immense grace towards us, that as a church you've allowed us the privilege to partner with these amazing people, the Warm Heart of Africa in Malawi. I just want to honour you, give you all the praise and glory for what you have done. Lives that have been literally, physically saved, but spiritually saved and being transformed, but by your grace. And so this morning, Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have. We thank you for the responsibility that we have. That we have been called not to live for ourselves, but for others. And we are called to serve this, our immediate community. That's this church family. There are those that are outside the four walls of this building and the surrounding suburbs and this city, and those that are abroad as you've directed and led us to. So, Father, we just want to thank you that your hand is upon your church, Compass Church. We ask that you would continue to give us wisdom and guidance around how we can just follow in your steps and to see the little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, just building that which is lasting and enduring, that which is fruit that will last, that which is a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, that Father God is a light to this community and to the nations of the world. So we just want to honor you. I pray your blessing over your church today. As we've gathered together in your name, I just want to thank you for what happened in worship this morning. Father, we cannot manufacture that. We cannot try to create that. It's stuff that only you can do. And I just want to honor you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Great to have you in church this morning.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.